All right, so we're beginning here at Masechet Chulin. As an introduction to Masechet Chulin, we want to discuss both why Masechet Chulin is placed inside of Seder Kodoshim, and why, again, that it is different than many of the other Masechetot that we're going to bump into in Seder Kodoshim. Just the size of the Masechet itself, which is gives you an indication that many Rishonim wrote on it, is because Masechet Chulin, as opposed to many of the other Masechetot, have Rishonim, especially Rishonim, that only write on Masechtot that are Halacha L'Maaseh. Chulin is a Masechet that is hugely Halacha L'Maaseh versus the other Masechtot in Seder Kodeshim, which aren't Halacha L'Maaseh in the sense of daily Halacha L'Maaseh, as we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, that it still has huge impact in terms of Halacha L'Maaseh, because when we learn those Halachot and when we say over those Parshiot, it's as if we've brought the Korbanot. But nevertheless, in terms of day-to-day practical Halacha, they don't have impact, and that's why the size of Masechet Chulin is significantly different than the size of any of the other Masechetot that we find in Seder Kodoshim. Besides that, the question more broadly is not just why Masechet Chulin is found in Seder Kodoshim, but the source for the matters that are found in Masechet Chulin. The focus, as we're going to see in the first Mishnah, is on Shechita, and on the preparing of an animal to be eaten, and those things that are matzah the animal to be eaten, spreads across the whole Masechet, but Shechita is definitely the central theme and the central idea that precipitates all the other lachot, or the other ideas that we find inside of Masechet Chulin. And what is the source for these items, and what does that source have to do with Kodoshim? Again, the name of the Masechet is Chulin, almost in a sense is the antithesis of Kodoshim. Maybe in of itself, that's the reason it's found here, because sometimes we find that things that are opposing also are important to be put together, because the contrast is important. Although, in the Rishonim, generally, the Masechet is known as Shechitat Chulin, and not Chulin by itself. And that's because, again, the focus is very much on the aspect of Shechita, and not on the aspect of Chulin over here, as opposed to Zvachim, which was Shechitat Kodoshim. Over here we have Shechitat Chulin. So in that way you'd see that the common denominator between them is Shechita. The difference between them is Chulin and Kodoshim. But again, that still begs the question as to why it's found in Seder Kodoshim and what is Kadosh or not Kadosh about these items. Now the Psukim, when they speak about matters of Heter and Isur with regards to Achila, we do know that the Torah uses a terminology of Kodesh. It ends up those Parshiot telling one to be kadosh, vid kadishtem, videm kedoshim. Those types of instructions are wrapped around issues of machal shel heter, machal shel isur, which partly has to do with shechita, partly has to do with animals or items that one is permitted to eat, and animals and items that one is not permitted to eat. Now, the Torah also does use the terminology of tumah and tahara. Certain things are tamei, means not only are they tamei in the spiritual sense of tumah, but they're also tamei, which is that they're restricted from you eating them. When the Torah describes the kosher animals versus the non-kosher animals, describes them as tmeim eim lechem, that they are defiling, that they are tmeim. And that would point to something that speaks to not a matter that is inherent problem, but something has to do with the relationship that we have between us as Klal Yisrael, people who have a certain level of Kedusha, and these items that for some reason lack that Kedusha, or maybe even have Tumah associated with them. So already that would start to put you into a world of Kodesh, or Vayitem Kedoshim, because the Halachot themselves are not premised on an inherent problem, they're premised on an issue of Tumah Tara and Kedusha. So that's one aspect, which we know that in order to be someone who is Kadosh, it requires, as the Mefarshim tell us in Parshat Kedoshim, it means the hafrish, to separate oneself away, to distance oneself from other items. And that's to be makdish, that which is otherwise not kadosh, or elevate that which is chol to a world of kedusha. And so the aspect of something that is tamei, something that's not inherently problematic, but we're still encouraged to stay away from it or distance ourselves from it, that's already an indication of a certain elevation of Kedusha. That's the first aspect of it. The second aspect of it is that when it comes to the eating of meat and the eating of animals, we know that the Torah in Parshat Bereishit does not necessarily permit one to eat animals and to kill animals for their own benefit. On the other hand, by the time we get to Parshat Noach, that has changed, and one is given permission to eat basar and to eat meat. The question of the relationship between that which was in Parshat Bereishit and Parshat Noach is obviously the subject of different commentaries, but it clearly indicates that there is something unique about one's ability to kill an animal, and that killing of the animal, whether that's only bidyavad versus the situation in Bereishit that's lechatchila, or even if you believe that it's lechatchila, the fact that there was such a change indicates that we can't take lightly the taking a life of another animal or another being for our own benefit or for our own hana'ah. And that again also requires one to think in terms of kedusha, think in terms of purpose and results that come from it. You can't just willy-nilly kill things because you want to kill them. There must be some purpose. There must be some greater good here. It also speaks to an issue or a level of kedusha. The last thing is the source for the halachot of shechita and halachot of chulin. That is that the Torah never gives us any instructions with regards to shechita and with regards to dealing with the aspects of chulin. Truth is that the word shechita never appears outside of the world of kodoshim. So the fact that we even use the terminology called shechita here by chulin already ties you in and connects you back to our world of kodoshim. That's what I noted before, that the Masechta in the words of the Rishonim is shechitat chulin, as opposed to zvachim, which is shechitat kodoshim. And again, the overlapping word is shechita, and that is because the source for shechita is from the world of kodoshim. Even in the way that the Torah formulates one's ability to have shechitat chulin, and to have basar chulin, it really is premised on a world of kodoshim. And that is, ki yarchiv Hashem lekecha dvucha, kasher dibar lach, dvarim yudbet, says when Hashem has granted you larger swaths of land, areas that make it far for you to come to the Mikdash every day. V'amarto, chla basar, ki taveh nafshecha, lechol basar, cholavat nafshecha, tuchal basar. Again, the focus on tava and basar obviously has ramifications, but the fact is that you want to eat meat. Ki yirchak mimcha makom, asher yivchar, Hashem lekecha, lasum shemo sham. But the problem is, the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, are way too far away for you to go travel when you want to have basar to bring it to the Mikdash. V'zavachta mibachacha mitzoncha, asher natan Hashem lecha, kasher tzivikticha, v'chalta b'sharecha, b'chol avat nafshecha. So here you have an instruction which says, because you don't have the ability, you don't have the capacity to go up to the Mikdash or to the Mishkan, therefore, you should be zoveach. Zoveach is a word or a terminology that we always see associated with kodoshim. Zvicha, zevach, is a type of korban. It's a korban shlamim. So already that tells you that whatever's happening here has some deep connection to the world of kodoshim. And the permissibility here is only seems to be a secondary or subpar execution of what you should be doing. And that is when you were in the midbar, the only way you ate basar was by bringing a korban. You brought a korban, you ate basar. You didn't bring a korban, you didn't eat basar. Here the Torah is giving you permission to do this only because it's too far away. If we don't give you this permission, then you're not going to be able to eat meat unless you go out to the Mikdash. Three times a year when you have to go, that's the only time you can eat basar. Torah recognizes that people have a desire to eat meat. They want to eat meat. How do I facilitate that? It says, because it's too far away, kasher tzivitticha, like I commanded you, v'achalta b'sharecha b'cholavat nafshecha. Ach, kasher ye'achel et tzvi v'tayal, ken tochlenu atamei b'tohor yachtav yochlenu. But you can eat it like a tzvi and ayal. Tzvi and ayal are animals that don't necessarily end up on the mizbeach. Tzvi doesn't, the ayal does. But in that sense, you can eat them atamei b'tohor yachtav. They don't have all those restrictions that normally would apply to kodeshim. They're dismissed over here. There are dispensations not to deal with that aspect of it. But it's clear underlying this that there is a tone and a theme of kodoshim that is associated with shechitat chulin. And that is, if you think about it carefully, a lot of what we do with regards to the animal has remnants of kodoshim associated with it. Number one, shechitah, which we already noted, is only something that's found by kodoshim. The requirement for shechitat chulin is similar to that requirement by the zvicha, or the shechitat of the animal by kodoshim. In a sense, why is it that you need any shechitah by the case of chulin? By the case of Zvachim, that's something that has spiritual kedusha associated with it, and therefore there might be tikkasim, ceremonial aspects to it that are important to the kodeshim themselves. But when you come to Ichulin, why is that ceremony important? All that's important, maybe let's assume, is that you kill the animal. There is a restriction against eating a live animal. There is a restriction against causing tsar to animals. So you should have to kill it. You should have to ensure that you're not eating it alive. But why is shechita important? That already indicates that we're doing something that's a remnant or replica of that is what is done by kodoshim. And that speaks to a certain elevation or kedusha that is associated with the animal, both in the negative sense and in the positive sense. And that is the primary goal of the animal, or the best way to have done this, would be bring the korban in the mikdash, bring a korban shlamim, as it's called over here, zavachta, a zevach, and then eat the basar out of the korban. Because in that way, you show, number one, the aspect of this all comes from Hashem, because you bring it as a korban, you're giving it to Hashem. Number two is that the taking of the life of an animal is not taken lightly, and therefore the dam is sprinkled on the mizbeach and not eaten, because it will be a dam behuba nefesh yichaper, and that the nefesh, which is represented by the dam that one is taking away, is only done for purposes or higher purposes like kapara, like dedication to Hashem. And then on top of that, the fats or aspects of the animal are placed on the mizbeach, again as a dedication to Hashem, and also recognizing that this all comes from Hashem. So when we have Shchitat Chulin or Behemat Chulin, there we do some of those items that in a way replicate and remind us of this fact. And that is the Shchita, which is the same thing that is done by the Behemat Kodoshim, which is a certain sanctification of the killing of or taking the life of an animal. It's done to a manner or a process that indicates that there is something important that's happening over here. Some sort of elevation or directed purpose that's associated with it. And that is shared between the Behemat Chulin and Behemat Kodoshim. Number two is the Dam. By the Kodoshim, the Dam ends up in the Mizbeach. By Dam Chulin, one is not allowed to consume the Dam Chulin. That belongs to the Mizbeach. That is the Nefesh. And one is not permitted to consume that item. Even in some cases, you have to cover it. You have to do Kisui Adam, which we'll get to later on in the Masechta. But that shows you that the dam that normally goes on the mizbeach by chulin is not permitted. And similarly, the fats, the chelev that normally goes on the mizbeach by behemat chulin, chelev is restricted. One is not allowed to eat the chelev. We can eat the shuman, but we can't eat the chelev. That's also indicative of the fact that there is aspects of kedusha that are associated here. Again, both in the negative sense that you should have brought this as a korban. This is a dispensation that you don't have to bring it as a korban. And therefore, there's certain aspects of it you will not be permitted to partake of, because they really belong to Hashem and to the Mizbeach. But also from the positive aspect of it, which is that you can't just kill an animal. When you kill an animal, we have to take that seriously. And we have to focus on the elevation and the kedusha that is associated with it. And that sanctification comes through the halachot that surround the way that we kill the animal, the way that we process the animal, what we can and cannot eat. And those all speak to kedusha, which is the Kedushat B'nai Yisrael allows us to eat certain animals, not to eat other animals. Tells us that we have to do it in a certain manner, not in a different manner. It means that we have to leave out certain things. We can't eat everything that we want. And then even when we eat it, that which we have in mind, and how we eat is also important. One cannot be meat. So lele basar and sovei ayayin can't be a gluttonous type of eating. Eating has to be done in a manner and a way that is measured and is for purpose. And again, that speaks to a kavanah that if we're going to do this, it must be done in a way that brings a level of kedusha to it, and that the eating that we do is no different than a zebach, eating a korban. And just like eating a korban has with it certain rules and kedusha, so too the eating of kulin will have that same aspect. Now, it won't require tuman tahara because it's not kodesh, but it still will require, as the Mishnah Avot says, that if you sit around a table, there needs to be divrei Torah. If you sit around a table, there's no divrei Torah. It's ki'ilu achlu mizibchei metim. That's the way that the Mishnah describes it. Because you haven't elevated, you haven't brought that level of kedusha to the meal and to the consumption of this item, which otherwise would have been a korban on the mizbeach. So that's in a broader sense what chulin is first of all doing here, as well as what's the connection between chulin and shchita, and that which we process by the animal, and that of kodoshim. In terms of the actual halachot of Shechita, the source for the halachot was the pasuk that we read, which is Vezavakta mi bakarcha mitzoncha shenatan Hashem lekach lecha kasher tziviticha, as I already commanded you. But we don't find anywhere there's a command except for the fact that Vezavakta means vicha, which means Shechita. That's the only place we find any command. Other than that, we don't have any command. And for that reason, the Gemara later on Daf Kaf Chet is going to bring this as the source for the fact that we have these halachot. Titania Rabbi Yomer, Zavakta, Kashet Siviticha, Lamechin Itztave Moshe Laveshet VeLaKanev Arov Echad BaOfa Arov Shnayim BeBeima. Those are all the halachot that we have with the verse of Shechita come out of this pasuk of Kashet Siviticha. And as Rashi says over here, Lamechin Itparshalo Mitzvat Shechita Al Peh Deichan Sivo Akbekutav. There's nothing in the Torah that writes out those rules. And that tells you Kashet Tibiticha means that there's an oral tradition, there's Torah Shebaal Peh, and the Torah Shebaal Peh are the mitzvot that are associated with the halachot of Shechita, which include both the halachot of Shechita, how many simanim you need to shech, whether you need to shech, only animals, maybe birds, that's a machloket with regards to birds, but there's a requirement of Shechita, how many of the simanim you need to shech, and then beyond that, we have the Chamisha Dvarim, the five things that are associated with the Shechita of a Beima, the five halachot, which we're going to get to in a moment, that disqualify one from doing a proper Shechita. All of that is Torah Shebaal Peh. That all comes down as an oral tradition. It is not written in the Torah. Ramban on the Torah, he summarizes everything we've said here. He says, Kashet Tzviticha Al Peh Mehalacha LaMoshe MiSinai. All of this is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. You're not going to find psukim that back it up. You're not going to find sources in Torah Shvechtav that are going to give you this information. But then he also notes, b'nei tziva b'korbanot v'shachat v'shachatu shehu b'simanei atzavar. And you see that the shechita and the world of shechita is found by kodoshim. Gata shebalatir basar chulin. And here when it wants to permit Basar chulin, amar zavachta mibkara mitzoncha kasher tziviticha biotam korbanot. What is kasher tziviticha? Kasher tziviticha means the same way that I commanded to you by the korbanot. Tuchal otam chulin b'chotavat nafshecha. Even though you're going to do it and process it like the korbanot, nevertheless, you can eat them the way that you eat chulin. Chotavat nafshecha, whatever you want to do. Lomar shiyatirim chulin b'chol makom uvajiv zovchim. As long as you do the zvicha, then everything will work out. Kasher tzviya mitchila biotam kulan korbanot. When everything was a korbanot. And he says that might be what the meaning of sher tzviticha means, is that by chulin, replicate that which you do by the kodoshim. And that's the meaning and the connection that draws everything we said together so far as to why we have shechita by chulin. Now, the secondary question, which happens to be a machloket rishonim, is there a mitzvah of shechita? You could view Shechita in one of three different ways, and some of them break down into smaller categories as well. But in a broad sense, you could view the mitzvah of Shechita as literally that. It's a mitzvah to say, to do Shechita, and that is the way that the Rambam formulates the mitzvah. He says, "V'mitzvah kuf mem vav, hu shetzivanu lishchot beima chaya v'of, v'chay yachem b'saram, sholem heter l'b'shechita l'bilvad." So there's a tzivoy of Shechita, there is a mitzvah to say, and that is the Rambam says in Hilchot Shechita that what the mitzvah to say is l'shchot v'karkach yochal, that you first shech and then you eat. And in the Sefer HaMitzvot, he also brings down the mitzvot listed out one after the next. L'shchot b'ema chaya v'of, v'karkach yochal b'saram, zavach tamid b'karkach. He brings many times the clear view that Shechita is something that is a mitzvah. There is one place where the Rambam actually puts together the mitzvah of Shechita and Staka and says they are reshut, which is very interesting given the fact that he formulates it everywhere else as a mitzvah and a mitzvah to say. We'll come back and deal with that in a moment. The Raivin on the spot and the Ramban both are mesig on the Rambam and say, where do you ever find this mitzvah to say? We don't have any mitzvah to say like this. And they both view it as a lav haba michlal asay, that it is a restriction that comes out of an asay. Which means that in order to eat the animal, you must do the Shechita. That means if you don't do the Shechita, then the animal is restricted because you didn't do Shechita. And so they say there's no mitzvah to do Shechita, but if you don't do Shechita, you're going to be in violation of a lav. So what it is, it's a lav haba michlal aseh. And so they see this, the aseh generates a restriction against eating it without the shechita. But the shechita itself is not the mitzvah aseh. There's an aseh to do shechita in order to eat it, but that aseh just produces what we call ishachut. That if you don't shecht it, then it's something that's not shechted, and that generates a lav. And that the Ravid says numerous times here with regards to the view of the Rambam, he says, Zen ein lo tam, v'ulai lav haba michlal aseh. Maybe because it's a restriction that comes out of an assay, that's how you could call it an assay. Not that there's an active assay, but the assay is because there's a lav that comes from the restriction, that lav that derives from an assay is called an assay. And that's how he formulates it, and the Ramban in the Sagoda also says, about elu heter v'yisrein, doma the mitzvah shkita, shetikum ba'anami, v'tzibanu la'shkita, v'tikba ve'ala leima, the shkot lo sagi de lo shochit. It's not enough if you don't shecht it. The major aspect of it, the primary aspect of it is the lav, not the assay. So you see by the Rambam that the assay is the driving force, and there's a mitzvah to say to do shkita, and that's the mitzvah. For the Ramban and the Ravid, the driving force is not the assay, the driving force is the restriction. You can't eat it if you don't do shkita. And the problem is all the fact that you can't eat it without shkita. Shkita is something that then permits you to eat it. There is a third possibility, which is that the shkita is not only an assay, it's also not a lav, but it's simply a matir. A matir means that it allows you to eat the meat. You want to eat the meat, you got to shecht it in order to do so. And that matir is something that permits you to eat the meat. Not that there's any lav, not that there's any assay. It's just procedural in nature, which we have other mitzvot like that. For instance, get. When you have the mitzvah of get, there is no mitzvah to give a get. There's no mitzvah to get divorced. The Torah gives you the procedure or the prescription for how to go about going through a divorce. So that's the way that's matir the isha to other people. It's a way to dissolve the marriage that exists. But again, speaking of those as mitzvot, you have to be careful because it's not that there's a mitzvah assay to go ahead and do this. These are again procedural or what's otherwise called the mitzvah kiyumit. Again, that will then break down when you speak about a matir. If the shechita is a matir, it can come, as the Achronim say, in one of two forms. It can come in the form of a matir in the sense that you have something that was impermissible, and therefore there is a mitzvah kiyumit. A mitzvah kiyumit means that when you have to do this, this is the way to do it. And then that becomes a mitzvah. Once you want this, once you want to do this, there's a mitzvah to do it this way. Not that there is an active mitzvah that you are now obliged to go out and do shechita. But on the other hand, if you want to eat meat, you must do shechita in this way. And it's optional for you to enter into this. But once you're going to do it, you have to do it and it's a mitzvah. No different than tzitzit. Tzitzit are only required to be placed on a four-cornered beged. But you have to wear a four-cornered beged in order to be chayav in tzitzit. The option is yours whether you want to wear a four-cornered beged. But when you wear a four-cornered beged, there's no question that you're mekayim a mitzvah of tzitzit. Similarly, by shkita, that might be the same thing, which is that it's a mishut, in the sense that you don't have to eat meat, you don't have to engage in this, but once you engage in it, there is a mitzvah of shkita and a mitzvah of kiyumit. The other way to view it is not that there is a mitzvah of kiyumit, but simply it's a complete mishut. There's no mitzvah at all. Again, it's just a matir, which is that it allows you to eat the meat. You want to eat meat, this is the way you can eat the meat. Not that there's any mitzvah to do shkita, but you need to remove whatever yisurim are there in order to be matir it. And therefore it's a matir in the sense of, this is the methodology that allows you to eat it. No different than you can eat a cow, but you can't eat a pig. You can't eat pig, you can't eat cow. Well, you want to eat a cow, you can eat it, that is shachut. That is not shachut, you can't eat. And that'd be another way to formulate it. It might also have impact in terms of the bracha. Who can make the bracha, and whether there's a necessity for a bracha. Even by matirim or other mitzvot, we have brochot, even though they're optional mitzvot. Make a broch on tzitzit, even though it's something that you can opt into. So that's number one. Number two is, when you eat food, we make a brocha before we eat food, because, unless you get a matir, unless you have something that permits you to do it, you make a birkat hane'anim. So also by the birachav shkita, again, you could see formulating that in one of two ways. The bracha of shkita could be a birkat ha-mitzvah, if you think there's a mitzvah to say. It could be a birkat mitzvah, even if you think it's a matir, because there's a mitzvah kiyumit associated with it, but an active mitzvah. Or it could be a bracha because you have to, like anything else, birkat ha-shevach or birkat ha-nenin, you have to make a bracha of shechita because this is what permits you to then eat the animal or eat the item, and you're getting hana from this ability to do that, and maybe that's the bracha. The nafkamina will be who makes the bracha. If you see it as a active mitzvah or even a mitzvah kiyumit, then the shochet would be the one that would have to make the bracha. On the other hand, if you see it as simply a birkat ha-nenin or birkat ha-shevach, then even someone besides the shochet can make the bracha at the time of shechita. If you make the shochet into your shliach, then maybe you can make the bracha. No different than brit milah, where the father can make the bracha, even though the moel is doing the brit milah. So in some cases, there's a birkat ha-shevach or birkat ha-nenin that can be made by the individual that is the beneficiary, even though he's not the one taking the action. Again, the shita that it is a matir is really promoted by the Tosafot. The Tosafot actually appears in Masechet Shavuot, where he most explicitly discusses this matter and says over there, Elavadai v'zavachta lo'ata le'asur. Zavachta doesn't come to make something asur. T'balavachi asura v'kaima michayim v'yisra ever minachai. You don't need v'zavachta to tell you that there's something wrong with this animal. You can't eat an animal because it's an isra v'yisra minachai. Rashi over there says, and Rashi and Armasechet will say the same thing, which is that there's an isur of ishachut, that if it's not shechted, that's an isur that exists, which is more along the lines of what the Ramban and the Raifid said, that there's an isur ishachut, and the Shechita removes it, and that's a lava ba michlal asay. The Tosafot says that there is no such isur. You're already asur because of Eber Minachai, ula achamita isur nevela. And after it dies, there's an isur nevela. So, ela bala hatir et ha isur, uberish lecha de b'shechita, sharia velo b'nechira. Or in essence, what Shechita does is, it removes Eber Minachai, and it blocks it from becoming a nevela. Otherwise, an animal's natural course would be to be Asur ben Eber Minachai while it's alive, and Asur ben nevela when it dies. Shechita allows you to remove the Isur of Eber Minachai, and allows you, it protects it from becoming a nevela. And in that sense, he calls it, Baal HaTir Et HaYisur. That's all it's coming to do here, is be a matir. And that is the view of the Baal HaTosafot. And others that the Shechita is a matir, and again, we spoke about different ways to formulate how it would be a matir. A matir, in one sense, is a mitzvah kiyumit, or it can be a matir in the sense of a reshut completely, which is, you need to do this, because otherwise, you don't have an animal that is edible. You'll have an Eber Minachai, you'll have an Nevela, so Shechita is the only mechanism that allows you to get to the other side and be able to eat it. But not that there's any mitzvah. Possibly, you would think that you wouldn't have to make a bracha on it. Because it's simply a matir, it's clear that we do make a bracha, and then that would indicate that the bracha is more like a birkat ha-nenin or a birkat ha-shevach than a birkat ha-mitzvah. Alright, that's just with regards to the broader sense of shechita. We'll point out during the Masechta, we'll bump into these ideas along the way. The last thing is the four or five halachot that are uniquely associated with shechita, which are going to become important on today's daf, which are the five areas that are considered to be the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim that are actually posel a shechita if someone does them incorrectly. And that is that the Gemara in Chulin, on Daf Tet, which we'll get to, says, Emre Vida Meshmo, called Tabach, Shenudea lo chod shechita. Anybody who doesn't know the law of the shechita, asur lecho mishchitato. You can't eat from his shechita. Ve'elu heina chod shechita. What are the law of shechita? Shihiya, darsa, chalada, hagrama, ve'ikur. Those are the five items. There is a machloket with regards to one of them. The others are pretty muskam. Shihiya is a delay in the shechita. If while you're doing the shechita, you stop and you don't finish the shechita in one back and forth motion, you wait the amount of time it would take to complete the shechita, which is not so long. If you have a shia, any hesitation or stopping in the process of doing the shechita, that disqualifies it. Other is darsa, which is instead of going in a back and forth cutting motion, one simply cuts the head off, uses pressure, or uses strength to shech the animal instead of the back and forth motion of the sharpness of the knife. That's called darsa. Doreis means to crush or to pressure or put pressure on and be underfoot. So that is also something that would disqualify the shechita. I'm going to skip the one of ikur because that's where there's a machloket. Chalada means that you put the knife in a way that it's not visible. The way that you do shechita is that you start from the bottom of the neck and you go back and forth. That back and forth motion, the knife is visible through the whole cutting. If somehow you get the knife into the animal between the two different simanim, that is the kaneh and the veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus, which are going to become important throughout the Masechta, those are the simanim that you need to shech. If he gets it in between them, or somehow he gets between the skin and them, and then does the shechita, that's called chalada. It comes from the word chuda, that goes under or burrows through. Similarly, if you burrow the knife through there, that's also a problematic shechita. Hagrama is a problem if you leave the area that is permitted for shechita. There's a certain location and area where the shechita has to be done, and has to be done in the tabat, in the rings of the windpipe, the cartilage that makes up the rings or circles that comprise the windpipe. You have to cut those rings, and if you slide out hagrama, you move out of that location while you're doing the shechita, that is problematic. The last of the five is ikur. And again, over here, it's mentioned as an aside. Even the Sefer Chinuch, when he brings them down, he brings four. It says, oh, and there's also ikur. Now, with regards to ikur, there's a machloket Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot as to what ikur is. Rashi says, ikur is shepasak hagrugoret, that he punctured the windpipe, or somehow he did something that put a hole in it instead of cutting it. That's what Rashi calls ikur. The Balei HaTosafot, on the other hand, say, they don't see that as being a problem of ikur. This has nothing to do with shechita. It's not a proper animal. It's because you made it into a treifa before you shechted it. And therefore, that's the issue over here. It's not an issue in the cutting or in the shechting of the animal itself. He suggests over here, it has to do with what's called a pgima. If there's a problem in the knife is not absolutely smooth and absolutely fine, then it catches on the simanim, and that causes an ikur, pulling or tearing of the simanim, which causes the quote-unquote choking of the animal, rather than the killing of the animal through the cutting of the simanim. And so in that way, it's a failure in shechita. Others say ikur means that the simanim moved from their natural location, and then you shechted them once they had moved from their natural location. So that would be the fifth of those items of ikur. Those items we'll spend a lot of time on, because those are the key aspects of shechita. But again, we're going to start here with the new Mishnah about the similar way that we start the other Masechtot in Kodashim, which is who is permitted to be involved in Shechita, which again has Dimyon, as we spoke earlier, to the areas of Kodashim, which are you have limited people who can perform the services of Kodashim. Sometimes it's a Kohen, sometimes it's only a Tahor. So too by the Shechita Kulin, there is a limitation as to who can perform the Shechita. We just read it on Daf Tet. The fact that only if you're a baki in shechita, can you be performing shechita? Shechita is not handed over to any person who wishes to do it. It has to be someone who is trained properly and knows the halachot. Hakol shochatim. Anybody can do shechita. Ushchitatan kshera. And their shechita is a good shechita. Balei Tosafot right away. Jump on. Hakol shochatim. Anybody can do shechita. Katu b'ilchot Eretz Yisrael v'nashim lo yishchatu. Women shouldn't do shechita, mipnei shedatan kalut, because they're not so careful about these matters. Could be even, maybe they're not strong enough in order to do it. They'll tire out in the middle of doing the shechita. Ve'ein nira, Tosfot says, I don't know where they got that from. Da'afilu b'muktashim shochato d'chatchila. Even by kodashim, when it comes to shechita, we say shechita is kshira bizar. And kshira bizar meant, even a woman can do the shechita for kodashim. Umushani who did that filo the chatfilo. Aval halcha ain chidush b'isha yoter b'miish. Over here, we don't even have to mention that. By kodoshim, there is a chidush to mention that a woman can do it because there are many disqualifications with regards to kodoshim that first of all only allow men to do it. Maybe by smicha, maybe by entering into the azara, as well as kohanim can only be males, not females that do the service. So over there, to say that a woman can do shechita is a big chiddush. Over here, by chulin, there's no reason to differentiate between men and women. The truth is, based on our introduction, maybe there is. It's very similar to kodoshim. You would have the same avami. But, in the end, if by kodoshim it's permitted for a woman to do it, why can't they do it by chulin? And therefore, the Balei Tosafot come to the conclusion that women can do shechita. There's not a question that a woman can do shechita. As long as she is well-versed in the halakhot, then she should be covered by a kol shochatin. Anybody who wants to do shechita can't do shechita, governed by the principle we'll see later on, that they know the halachot of shechita, they know how to do it properly. Now, despite the fact that an isha is mutaret legamre, and even lechatchila to do shechita, at least in the Aretzot Ashkenaz, it was rare, if not never, that we find women that were doing shechita, especially for the rabbim, or especially in a commercial sense, We don't find it. And the Achronim speak about the reasons behind that, or the reasons we wouldn't necessarily permit a woman to do it in a public sense, even though, again, according to the Mishnah and Ikar Halacha, they'd be totally permitted to do such. So now, the Gemara will ask right off the bat, why do you need a kosher kadin, ushkitatan sheira, which either seems to be duplicative or contradictory. So we have to figure out what that is. Chutz, the exceptions to the rule of the kol are cheres shoteh v'katan. All of them are problematic. Shemi kalkulu et shkitatan, because they are not trustworthy in terms of their ability to carry out the shkita. They lack dat, and lacking dat is going to cause the failure of what we need, that you know all the halakhot of shkita, and you do a kosher shkita. So that already gives you some indication that shkita is not so simple. You need to know a lot, and you need dat in order to perform the shkita. V'kulan sheshachtu, v'cherim roim otan, shkitatan kshira. And anyone who does shkita, and someone else is overseeing or supervising them, then their shkita is kshira. How this relates to the first half of the Mishnah, again, will be a machloket amoraim. We will touch on it today, but in tomorrow's daf, we'll spend a lot of time in explaining the Mishnah. You have three sections to the Mishnah, and you have to somehow coordinate between these three sections of the Mishnah as to what is the din in each case, and who are they referring to. Because we're speaking in globalities. We're speaking in generics, which is hakol shokhatim, or kulan sheshachtu. Those don't give you particular individuals or particular problems that we're trying to deal with. And therefore, each one of the Amoraim is going to come up with a different explanation. All right, now the Gemara says, Hakol shochatin lechatchila. Sounds like anybody can do shchita, and that is lechatchila. Anybody means anybody, and it means lechatchila. But then it says, Ushchita tan kshira, which is diavad. If they do shchita, the shchita is fine. That's a lashon diavad. The difference between lechatchila and diavad is it written in a sense that it happened already? It's written in the past tense, which is shchitatan. If they did shchita kshira, that's bidiavad. If you say a kol shochatim, that is a statement that is looking to the future and saying, anybody who shechs will do a good shchita. That's a lashon lechatchila. So I'm like, Ravacha bring the Rava, the Ravashi, b'chol akol lechatchila. Are you so certain that the usage of the term akol indicates that it can be done even lechatchila? Amiato, what are you going to do with other mishnayot in kodoshim? Hakol memirim. Anybody can do tmura. Echad anashim v'echad nashim. Men, women. Hachanami l'chatchilo? You're going to tell me over there that that's l'chatchilo? It's an isur min haTorah to do tmura. Hakol memirim is telling you that everybody has the capacity to do tmura. Doesn't mean that you should be doing tmura. V'aktif lo yachlifenu v'amiroto tobira urabito. It's an explicit isur in the Torah not to do tmura. Don't exchange it. Don't swap it out. Good and bad and good. That's between a tamim is good, a ra is a bamum. You shouldn't be swapping between them. Hatam kediktani taima. There's a disclaimer in the Mishnah itself that tells you the reasoning. Lo shadam rashay la'amir. The Mishnah continues and says, not because someone should be doing tmura, elo shemimir mumar. If you do it, you are successful. V'sofeg et arbeim. And then you get malkot. You violated a lav. And in violating that law, you also accomplish the tmura. That's what it means, akol memirim. Akol memirim is not an instruction to do it lechatchila. Akol memirim means that anybody who does do it will happen. But that's an exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. Because the rule itself is that it should be lechatchila. Over there, it already gives a disclaimer in the Mishnah and says, don't read it that you should be doing it. Just telling you if you do it, it will be successful. So Rashi just views it as a disclaimer or a reversal of the lechatchila in the beginning of the Mishnah, although the Balei Tosfot over here suggests that that's not the case because it doesn't read well into the Mishnah. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara's answering here is similar to the way it deals with it in Masechet Murah to explain what is akol, and akol comes the tuye mezid. You come include someone who does it intentionally, that even though he does it intentionally, it still is Murah. Don't think that only Bishogeg you can do Tmura. Then Tosfot goes on to discuss whether it's a bigger chiddush to say that Tmura can happen when you do it B'mezid, or when Tmura can happen when you do it B'shogeg. Ella, what about the other Mishnayot? These are all Mishnayot that we're going to bump into in the beginning of Tmura, in the beginning of Arachin, which is a kol marichin v'nerachim. Anybody can generate a requirement to bring the Erech, or anybody can be subject to Erech. Hakol no dream. Anybody can take a neder, v'kol nidarim, and anybody can be the subject of a neder. We'll get to this when we get to Masechet Arachin, but the difference between erech and neder has to do with the nature of how you are committing yourself to bring the monies to Hekdesh. Both of these cases are a neder that you're going to bring something to Hekdesh. The mechanism or the methodology by which you do it is different. Erachin is tables in the Torah that are simply governed by age. Whatever gender and age, then you work out, they're tables, and it's a flat rate, and you pay that rate. Neder is the absolute value of the item that you're trying to give. There will be enough kaminot between them. For instance, if someone says, I want to bring the erech of a child below 30 days, there is no erech. The tables only start at 30 days. Whereas if someone says, I want to bring the value of a baby that's under 30 days, figure out what the value of a baby is. In their day, this was much easier because there was an active slave trade, an active slave market. So the value of an individual is how much they would sell on the slave market. That's exactly what the value of the individual is. So you can find out the value of a person, or you can find out their value on the tables of Arachin. But both of those, it says there, are kol. So how can I be chatchila? You're going to tell me again that that's something that we would encourage? That's something that you would do the chatchila? Baktiv, doesn't the posuk in Dvarim say, v'chitechtol in dor, lo yeh b'chachet? If you desist from taking nidarim, you won't have any sins. That seems to indicate we prefer if you don't take nidarim, better not to take a neder. And if you don't take a neder, no sin, no harm, no foul. Uchtev. And it says in Kohelet, Tov asher lo tidor, mishi tidor velo tishalem. Better is one who doesn't take a neder than one who takes a neder and doesn't carry out their neder. Again, an indication that there's no necessity to take nidarim. And even though it seems obvious that if you take a neder and don't accomplish it, that that's a really bad thing, why does the pasuk have to tell you that? So the way that Rashi interprets it is that don't take a neder, shema lo tishalem, because maybe you will not fulfill the neder. It's not taking a neder and not being mishalem, but rather it's shema lo tishalem, or the Ramban ala Torah and the Ran also in the Darim bring an alternate explanation that it's coming to dismiss the fact that you might think that there's some value in taking a neder. Even if you don't accomplish the neder, because of some onus, because of some problem that comes up, maybe you would think that there's a value or a schut in the neder. And that's what it comes to dismiss and say, there's no inherent value in a neder. The only value of a neder is the one that's accomplished and one that is fulfilled. If you don't fulfill it, there's no inherent value in the neder. And that means that even if you have a reason or a dispensation why you don't have to fulfill it, there's no mitzvah. And that's what the pasuk here comes to dismiss. Betanya, and we have a brayta that says, Tov mizeh umizeh, better than both of them is, Sheinu doder kol ikar, if you don't take any neder whatsoever. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes the way to read the pasuk is, Tov asher lo tidor, mishi tidor velo tishalem. So Tov, what does Tov mean? Tov means, Tov mizeh umizeh, better than taking a neder and not fulfilling it. Better than taking a neder and fulfilling it. Better than both of those? Asher lo tidor, if you don't take a neder at all. Rashi claims that it's connected to the pasuk before, with et asher tidor shalem, and that's what it means tov. Tov me the pasuk before, and tov me what the remainder of the pasuk. The Ravenu Tam in the Bayit Tosafot doesn't love that interpretation because it's not mentioned at all. Where do you see the previous pasuk we mentioned? And therefore he says that it is being the reading of the Pashtuta pasuk, which is tov me shetidor, period. Or tov mishitador velo tishalem. So that end of the pasuk includes both aspects. A neder that you do fulfill, and then a neder that you don't fulfill. And he sees it embedded in this pasuk itself. So that's where the Rabbi Meir reads it, that we would encourage you not to take nederim whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, tov mizeh umizeh, noder mishalem. So you have to read the pasuk a little differently, which is tov, what is better? Better than asher lo tidor, umitidor velo tishalem. Better than someone who doesn't take a neder, and better than someone who takes a neder and doesn't bring it, is someone who takes a neder and actually carries it out. From a Yehuda's standpoint, it sounds like this is the chatchila. If you take the neder and do the chatchila, va'filu Rabbi Yehuda, lo kamar ela ba'omer. He only says it when, for instance, he says, harei zo e nedava, aval amar harei alai, lo. He only says that he encourages people to take nedarim when it's nedava. When you point to the item, and you only sanctify the item itself, not in a case where you take a neder, and the obligation will still reside upon you if something goes wrong with the item. So even Rabbi Yehuda, who permits lechatchila to take a neder that you're going to fulfill, he only says that if it's formulated as a nidava, not as formulated a neder. And by definition, erech and nidarim are not nidava. You are not bringing the person as a korban. You are not sanctifying the individual. All you're doing is I'm obligating myself in basically tzedaka. I'm obligating myself in a monetary obligation to Hekdesh and saying the value of this individual I'm now committed to bring to Hekdesh. The erech of this individual I'm now committed to bring to Hekdesh. By design, those are all nidarim because it's an obligation upon you to discharge the monetary commitment that you made. The neder and the erech are just a mechanism for knowing how much you owe to Hekdesh. But it's not the nature of the neder. The neder itself is a commitment that you're going to bring the monies to Hekdesh. So it's a neder and not a nidava. But given that, how can you claim that a kol means lechatchila? And different Rishonim have different views as to how comprehensive this restriction against taking the nidarim is. Rashi over here says you shouldn't do it because there's a high likelihood that you're going to violate lo yachel divaro. And that would seem to have broad implications and apply to any type of neder. But we find in Iran, in the Darim, as well as in the Ramban al Torah, that they segregate out certain nidarim where they feel they're not governed by this principle, including nidarim ve'et tzara. And you can see that at the end of the Tosfot on the top of the Amud Bet, it says, ve'esh lomar deshat tzara shari. V'damrinu be'breshi rabba v'yidar yakob neder le'mor, le'mor le'dorot shiud nodrim ve'et tzara. So there is this special dispensation when it comes to et tzara to take a neder, as well as nidrei tztaka, or nidarim v'kayim et mitzvot. The Ramban even thinks that it might be narrowly applicable to nidrei korbanot, where there are higher stakes and higher likelihoods of failure or problems. Over there, that's where we tell you not to take nidarim. But in other locations where there's beneficial aspects to the neder, we would condone taking nidarim. So how can you claim that it's lechatchila when you have situations like tmura, arachin, nidarim, all of which we would view as being negative and not something that we would encourage? So there, how could you call them a kol means lechatchila by all of these items? V'chol kol lav lechatchila? So let's go in the other direction. You're telling me that the word kol doesn't mean lechatchila? What are you going to do with the other mishnayot that are found at the beginning of arachin, which is hakol chayavim b'sukkah? Everyone is chayav in sukkah. There the Gemara tells us, latuye, that comes to include a katan, she'enu tzarich le'imo. Katan doesn't need his mother anymore, is already chayav in mitzvot chinuch sukkah. A kol chayav in b'tzitzit. Everyone is obligated to put on tzitzit. And then again, a kol comes latuye katan or yodeh litateh. A katan that knows how to do atifa, he's already chayav in tzitzit. Hachanami, talav l'chatchila? Wait a minute, now you're going to tell me that's not l'chatchila? Of course it's l'chatchila. Everybody should sit in the sukkah. That's a mitzvah lechatchila to sit in the sukkah. Everyone should put on tzitzit. That's a mitzvah lechatchila. Those aren't bidiabad. Those are clearly lechatchila. Chayavin lo kamina. So Rav Acha Brei de Rava says to Rav Ashi, that's not a proof because you have the word chayavim over there. And chayavin lo kamina. I wasn't asking the question. I wasn't challenging this idea that a kol lechatchila applies when you have the word chayavin there. I'm saying that when you just have the word a kol alone, that's where I question whether it's always lechatchila. By chayavin, it's clear that that's lechatchila. So it says a kol chayavim. Chayavim means you're obligated to do the item. So the combination of a kol and chayavim make it clear that it's a mitzvah to say that it's lechatchila. So those are the exceptions, because they say a kol chayavim. There it's lechatchila. But if you just have a kol by itself, that's clearly not lechatchila. And so Rav Ashi says back to him, El Me'ato, if you think that a kol is not lechatchila, what are you going to do with a kol somchim? Everybody can do smicha. Echad anashim v'echad anashim. Men and women. As you can see on the side here, he points out that we don't have anywhere in the Gemara where it says such a thing, that a kol somchim echad anashim v'echad anashim. And he even points out that the Gemara actually goes in the other direction, where women should not be somech. And even according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who allow the women to do smicha, it's optional, but not obligatory. He says, Tzarchiyun, where we have such a concept that a kol somchim comes to include women, lechatchila, because we don't find such a gemara, we don't find such a position in Shas. Hachanami delav lechatchila? There you're going to tell me it's not lechatchila? Doesn't have the word chayavin. Baktiv, the pasuk says, v'samach yado v'nirtzalo. So the nirtzah, the ritzui, comes from smicha. The Torah views that very favorably and says that it brings the ritzui on the korban. So of course, smicha is lechatchila. So there you see the word akol means lechatchila. So Rav Acha ber Eder Rava says back to Rav Ashi, en ochanami. Ika kol lechatchila, ika kol diyavad. Sometimes akol is lechatchila. Sometimes it is bidyavad. It's not systematic. It's not that anytime the word kol appears, it's lechatchila. And it's not that anytime the word kol appears, it's bidyavad. You have to look contextually. What's the situation? And then you'll know whether it's lechatchila or bidyavad. Ela kol da'acha, mimayt lechatchilo. The tikshalach that caused you to have a problem. My question to you is, how do you know the kol over here is lechatchila and not bidyavad? In other cases, the context makes it clear. Whether it's because it says a kol chayavin, or because we have a pasuk in the Torah that tells you such. So over here, where do you have any indication it's lechatchila? Maybe it's only bidyavad, and therefore there's no question over here. Amalei. So Rav Ashi says back to him, my problem is not with the first statement in the Mishnah, it's with the second statement in the Mishnah. Ana shkitatan ksheira kashali. Says shkitatan ksheira, which is clearly bidyavad. Mirtani shkitatan ksheira diavad, michlau da kol lechatchilohu. Since the second statement is clearly the bidyavad, means the first statement is clearly lechatchilah. Di'i diavad, well, maybe not. Maybe the first and second statement are bidyavad. But if you say that, tarte diavad lomidli. Then what do you need two statements in a row to tell you? Bidyavad akol shoftim, and bidyavad shkitatan ksheira. You don't need a duplication of the same din. That would indicate that there is a difference between them, and that is, akol shochatim is lechatchila, and then shkitatan ksheira is bidyavad. And through that, Rav Ashi shows that the hakol shochatim must be lechatchila. What's interesting over here is that Rav Ashi's response indicates that he was the one who spoke at the beginning of the Gemara. Yet there's no attribution to that statement. It's a stama de Gemara. From here, the Bali Tosfot say, mashmash Rav Ashi hitshal takushya. Vavavishi sugyata Gemara. Umikan rayash Rav Ashi sidera Gemara. From here, it's a proof that Rav Ashi was the misadera Gemara. Vavgav da bai verova namiatu lishnuyeach kushya. And even though later on we're going to see that Abai and Rava also come to deal with that question, maybe in their time they also asked the question already. But the fact that Rav Ashi is defending what is otherwise the stam of the Gemara indicates that he is the stam author of the Gemara. And from this, Tosfot brings evidence to the fact that Rav Ashi was one of the Misadrei HaGemara, and that's why he's speaking as if he was the one who spoke in that stam of the Gemara. So that is the end of the question. Now that we have the question, we're going to begin the process of the Amoraim trying to explain it, and we'll have the first suggestion today and the remainder of them tomorrow, which is Amar Rabba Barula Hachik Toni. This is how to read the Mishnah. Hakol Shachatin Afilu Tamei Bechudin. Hakol Shachatin comes to include Lichatfila, that someone who is Tamei can Shecht Chudin. Where it says Tamei Bechudin Maila Memra. Why do you have any question about a tamei shechting chulin? There's no restriction against being mitamei chulin. Where does the Torah give you any instruction or any indication that one is not allowed to be mitamei chulin? So if that's the case, what type of chiddush is it that a tamei can shecht something that's chulin? As the Bali Tosfot notes, even though there's a restriction against being mitamei ochlim in Eretz Yisrael, that's only with regards to fruits or items that would otherwise have kedushat haaretz and be subject to truma. But basar, which doesn't fall in that category, there's no restriction whatsoever to be mitameh them, even if you believe that there's an Israel mitameh chulin Beretz Yisrael. Although the Meiri does say that this is according to the one who says that it's mutar the grom tumah the chulin Beretz Yisrael, and that he says that it would impact on basar. It just happens to be that this is according to the one who says there's no problem. He says bechulin shnasu atarat hakodesh, the case where the people are careful about tumah with regards to chulin like they are by kodesh. There's a difference in the Dargota Tumah with regards to Chulin and Kodesh, and the impact of Tumah on Kodesh. Tumah will cause problems and many times disqualify Kodeshim. By Chulin, that's not the case. Number two is that the levels of Tumah. By Chulin, the Tumah ends at a, what's called a Sheni the Tumah. You can start out as an Aviavot, Ava Tumah, Rishon the Tumah, Sheni the Tumah, that's the end of the line. In Shrumah, we add on a Shlishi the Tumah, and in Kodesh, we had on a Revi'i the Tumah. That's all discussed in the Gemara at the end of the first parak in both Psachim and Shabbat, these different Dargot. But it's clear that Kodesh has a higher level of Kedushah, which also then has more levels of possibilities of Tumah. And Tumah is passed by contact, by certain actions that the Torah tells us create or allow for the Tumah to pass or be conveyed. So those actions, they're taken, or if they come into contact, they will pass Tumah, but to a limited range. That range expands as you move to Kodesh. So someone who eats Chulin, Ayudei, Tarata Kodesh, number one, worries about levels of Tumah beyond Sheni the Tumah, even Shlishi and Revi the Tumah. And number two is, they won't eat Chulin if it becomes Tamei. Even though there's nothing wrong with the Min HaTorah, they take on this Chumrah. The Chumrah is so that they're either ready, when Kodesh comes around, they're ready and they are prepared and they have everything B'Tara, or it's for people who are eating or have Kodesh all the time. They have Kodesh like Kohanim, who are eating Kodesh. It pays for them to keep their Chulin at the same level as Kodesh, so you don't have problems of interacting between them. So for one of those reasons, he decides he's going to do Chulin al Torat HaKodesh. Because Savar, Chulin shenaseh al Torat HaKodesh, k'Kodesh domu. They believe that when you do Chulin al Torat HaKodesh, it has the same status as Kodesh. And that means that you would have to treat it like you would treat Kodesh. Ketzad hu oseh. How could then he shech the animal? If he's Tamei, and he comes into contact with the animal, even if it's now Chulin, but it's al Torat HaKodesh, he's going to be posel the animal, if after it's dead, he comes into contact with it. Maybe sakin aruka. He brings a long knife. Vishokhepa. And then he does shkita. Today shlo yiga babasar. So that he doesn't touch the basar. He has a long knife that prevents him from coming into contact with the basar. Omemukdashim. When it comes to ekdesh, lo yishchot. You shouldn't do the shkita. Shema yiga babasar. Because maybe you'll come into contact with the basar. Vim shachat. But if he does do it, Bomer Borili Shalom Nagati, and he says it's clear to me that it never came into contact with the Basar, Shkitato Kshera, Biti Abad, it is Kshera. So now Rabba Bar Ula is explaining the Mishnah. Akol Shochatim Lichatchila, that means the Tamei can shech Chulin Shenasu al Torat HaKodesh, Lichatchila with a long knife. We don't ask any questions, we don't worry about it. At worst, he made a Tamei, it's not really impactful, it's all a Chumrah anyway, Chulin al Torat HaKodesh. The other hand, when it comes to Kodashim, we would not permit the Tamei to shecht it, because if he comes into contact with the Basar, he would ruin it. Midoraita, it would be problematic. And therefore, we would not permit him lechatchila to do it. Bidyabad, if he already did it, and he declares to us, and he tells us that I did it in a way that there was no contact, we will believe him, and it'll be a shkitato kishera bidyabad. And that would be the explanation of the Mishnah. Chutz micher shoteh v'katan. Now he continues to explain the Mishnah. With the exception of Mecher Shoteh V'Katan, Tafil B'Chulin Greida, Di'avad Nami Lo. That even in regular Chulin, B'Di'avad, they can't do it. Shema, because maybe they'll Yukalkel, they'll ruin it. Shema Yishahu, this goes back to our introduction, maybe they'll do Shia, they'll wait or they'll hesitate during the Shkita. Shema Yidarsu, or maybe they'll put pressure and cut it not through back and forth motion and a cutting motion, but rather putting pressure into the knife. The Shema Yachlido, or maybe they'll bore it in and shecht in that way, that is a violation of Chaluda. And it's also what it says, the reason they only mentioned three out of the five Sulim over here is because, Lagroma v'ikor lo chayshina deminkar. Lagroma v'ikor, it's clear, you can see that he cut out of the space. Or he did an akira. Or he says, miu ikor de sakin b'guma lo minkar. That explanation that I gave about ikor, which we noted the Bali Tosafot hold of, that it means that the knife was nicked somewhere, that actually is not clear, and that also would be a problem over here, because you can't tell after the fact that it was done with the knife that was peguma. Mikulan, shishachtu. But then the last line of the Mishnah says, anyone who does shkita, ahai. On which part of the Mishnah does it go? Who, with supervision, is okay? Ilei ma'cher shoteh v'katan, alakai. If you say cher shoteh v'katan, it's with supervision that they would be permitted, alakai. The Mishnah is speaking about them. Then, v'im shachatu mibayile. The Mishnah wanted to continue speaking about them. It shouldn't have changed it and said, v'chulan shishachatu. It should have just continued. Chutz micher shoteh v'katan shemi kalkulu. V'im shachatu. If they did the shechita with supervision, it'd be fine. The fact that it changes and starts like with a new subject, v'chulan, instead of having an implied subject, which would be the cher shoteh v'katan, indicates that we must be speaking about somebody besides the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. And that is what the Gemara says here. If you think it's speaking about the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, Allah Koi, the Mishnah is already topically involved with them. Imshachatu Mibayle, she just got on and said, if they shecht, and the antecedent would have been the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. When you start with a new subject, Kulan, That sounds like it's something different. Tosafot, Shitatam over here, says that, when it says here that it's not applying to Chershuot Devekatan, and therefore he says over here, when it says it's not referencing back to Chershuot Devekatan, it means it's not referencing exclusively to them. It's them and something else, and that's why it says Vekulan. But that doesn't preclude the possibility that they could do it with supervision. Ela Tamei Vekulin. It's coming to teach you some of the Tamei Vekulin. Ha'amar to Chatkila Nami Shochit. What do you mean he needs supervision? You said the Chatkila, if he's a Tamei Vekulin, Shinasu, throughout the Kodesh, he can do it L'Chatkila. Vela Tamei Vemukdashim. If it's Tamei Vemukdashim, Biborili Sagi. You told me already that he can tell us. You don't need somebody else supervising him and watching him. If he himself tells us that he did it without touching it, that's enough. So why do you need any supervision here? The Leita Kaman Dini Shalei. He's not in front of us. He's not here available to be asked about the matter. Which seems to imply that in cases where we have a chazoka, or in cases where we otherwise would have assumed that everything is alright, if you have the opportunity to ask, one should ask. And obviously this has nafkaminot with regards to things like chazakot and assumptions that we make. If you have the ability to clarify the information, should you clarify the mission, or is there a demand to clarify the information? From here, it would seem clear that if he was there and we could ask him, we would rather ask him than have someone else testify to the fact that he did it right or he never touched it. So that gives you an indication of that preference for finding out the information and asking directly the information. So in this case, where we don't have him here, we can't ask him, then if someone was supervising and said, I saw that he never touched the basar, b'diavad, it would be shkitatan k'tira. And even though the truth is that this is a safek tuma b'shut rabim, which we generally say is tohor, Balei HaTosafot in Nida answer that is lav dafka. Dazarai b'shut rabimi usfeko tohor. So the whole case here of borili, that it's clear to me, we don't even need it to be borili. Even if it's a safek, it's okay. Although the Balei HaTosafot here bring a different possibility, which is because it's so apt to happen, we don't rely on Sveiko B'Shut Rabim is Tahor. Or he says it's speaking about a Bama, which is a Shut Yachid, and that is not subject to the Din of Sveik Tuma B'Shut Rabim is Tahor. And then that would solve all the problems, because then it'd be Tahor only if he says Barili, not in the case of Sveik B'Shut Rabim, where it would have been Tahor, even without him saying Barili. So the Ramban says, Eino Kanami, that if it was an issue of Tuma, Sveik Tuma B'Shut Rabim would be Tahor. That's not the question here. The question here is this Kodesh still intact and have its status as Kodoshim? And that Safek Tuma B'Shut Rabim can't do. You need some active statement to say, Borili, that I'm certain that it is still Kodesh in order for it to maintain its level of Kedusha. Saha, Tamei B'Mukdashim, Mahachanapko? Now you're telling me this is the source for the fact that a Tamei B'Mukdashim is allowed to do Shechita B'Diabad? Mehotam Nafko, we have a Mishnah in Zvachim that deals with it where it should be brought. That's the topic of Zvachim. Kol Apsulim Shishaktu Shchitatan Kseira. Anyone who's pasul to do the avoda beyond the Shchita, if they do the Shchita, then their Shchita is Kseira. Shach Shchita Kseira b'zarim, b'nashim, u'bavadim, u'bitmeim. The Shchita can be done by a Zar, can be done by an Isha, can be done by an Eved, or even by a Tamei. Ba'filu b'kodshei kodoshim. Even in the higher elevated Kodoshim, they can also do Shechita. As long as the Tamei doesn't touch the Basar, over here the Baal Tosafot will make a comment like they do in Zvachim. It's not really relevant to here. It's really more a question in Kodoshim, which is what type of knife exactly they are using over here. These individuals are Tmeim and can't enter into the Migdash or into the Azara. How in heaven's name are they going to shecht an animal that's 135 amot away in the Azara? He does bring a number of answers, including the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that if he became Tamei Bifnim, they were not Gozer, that he had to go out. It was only Gzeirah if he was outside, that he can't come into the Ezrat Nashim. Though the Ramban just simply says it's a case where he violated the restriction against a Tamei Maid coming into the Ezrat Nashim, into inside of the Chayil, where he wasn't allowed to be. And in that violation, he did the Shechita. Though the Balei Tosfot over here favor the answer that they've given other places, which is the fact that the restriction was only on the Ezrat Nashim, but not in other areas that were adjacent to the Azara, which means that the person could come from one of the side entrances towards the Azara, even as a Tamei Maid, and then do the Shechita in one of those locations. You're telling me the halacha comes out of our Mishnah in a implied manner. We have an explicit Mishnah in Zvachim that tells us this information. Hocha Ikar, Over here is the Ikar Mishnah. This is where the limud is from over here. Hatam, why did it bring it in Zvachim? I did Tana Sharp Sulim, Tani Nami Tamei B'Mugdashim. So since it mentioned Sulim, it threw in the mix Tamei. But not that that was the Ikar Din over there. The Ikar Din over there is regards to Psulim. Tamei happens to be one of those Psulim, so it brought it down. But that's not the major thrust of the Mishnah, as opposed to our Mishnah, where this is the major theme of the Mishnah. Some say, no, that the Ikar Mishnah is in Zvachim, because that's speaking about Kodashim, that's the world of Kodashim. Over here, once it got involved in Tamei B'Chulin to say it's okay, it noted as an aside that Tamei B'Mugdashim would not be okay, but this isn't Ikar. That's why you have duplicative Mishnayot. Where it says, Hai Tamei, De'it Be'Mamai. So this is your question. What exactly is the Tumah that an individual has? Ilema De'it Be'Mamai. If you're telling me that he's Tamei Tumah Tamait, then B'Chalal Cherev Amar Rachmana. The Torah says B'Chalal Cherev, and we learn, we have a drasha from that, Cherev Harehu Kechalal, that the Cherev takes on the same status as the Chalal as the corpse. This is a din specifically with metallic kelim, that metallic kelim that come into contact with a dead person, a corpse, they take on the same tumah as the corpse. The corpse is what's called avi avota tumah, the highest level of tumah. Someone who comes into contact with the mate, or is under an oel with the mate, all the other ways that one can become tamei tumah tamait, that individual becomes ava tumah, tumah tamait. So the mate is an avi avota tumah. The person who comes into contact with that is Ava Tumah. That Ava Tumah who comes into contact with Kelim or Kelim will make them into Rishon the Tumah. That's how Tumah works. The Gemara in the beginning of Baba Kama discusses different ideas of Avot Toldot. When you have levels or gradations, how do they work? By Tumah it says it's clear that Tumah works by stepping down a level. There's the highest level and each contact or each conveyance of Tumah steps down a level. So you'll start out at Avi Avot Tumah. Next person who's in contact becomes an Ava Tumah. Someone's in Ava Tumah becomes a Rishon, and Rishon becomes a Sheni. There's a gradation in the Tumah. But there is an exception to that rule, and that is Cherev Harehu Kechalal. That the metallic Kli, or the Cherev, takes on the same status as the corpse. That means that a metallic Kli that comes into contact with a mate is the same level as a mate. It becomes an Avi Avota Tumah. And someone who comes into contact with that item then would also be an Ava Tumah. And similarly, an Ava Tumah that comes in contact with a metallic Kli, for instance, if a Ava Tumah is holding a sword, that sword has the same status as the individual, and it's also an Ava Tumah. It doesn't drop down a gradation. So in our case over here, if he's Tamei Mate, and now he's coming to shech the animal, the knife is a metallic knife. So then if he touches it, he makes the knife into a Ava Tumah. So if he's an Ava Tumah, the Tamei, the Sakin, he's going to make the Sakin Tamei, and then the sakin will be mitame the basar. And the truth is, as Rashi notes over here, this cherev harei kuchalal, you don't even need. A cherev harei kuchalal says that the guy's tame mate, he touches the knife is now an ava tumah, he shacks the animal with it, the animal's going to be a rishon the tumah. But the truth is, that because it's ochel, there's even a sheni the tumah, and even without him, cherev harei kuchalal, if he was an ava tumah, touched the knife, that became a rishon on the tumah. The knife as a rishon on the tumah can come into contact with the ochel, the basar kodashim, and make it into a sheni the tumah. That's because, in terms of conveyance, kelim can only accept tumah from an ava tumah. Nothing below that. But, if he is an ava tumah, then he can't convey tumah to it. Ochel and mashke can accept tumah even below a level of rishon the tumah. That's why here, even if he didn't have the position of cherev harehu kechalal, the basar, he would be Tamei. Rashi just says, they brought it down, Rebuta Kamar. Tell us a Chiddush, that this basar is not only a Sheni the Tumah, it's even a Rishon the Tumah. So how does this work? Elad it made the Sheretz. Became Tamei Tumah Sheretz, which makes him into a Rishon the Tumah. Sheretz is an Ava Tumah, he's a Rishon the Tumah. As a Rishon the Tumah, he can only be Mitamei Ochel Mashkin, he cannot be Mitamei Kelim. And since he can't be Mitamei Kelim, when he comes into contact with the knife, he has no impact on the knife. And when he shechs the animal with this long knife, b'diavad, if he didn't come into contact with the animal, we will say that it is a kosher korban. You can bring it as a korban. Some say, no, he was tamei tumah tamait. Kagon shebadak kumit shokaneh b'shachat ba. He used a reed or a piece of bamboo that was sharpened to the point where we could cut like a knife for shechita. The Tanya, because you have a braita, b'chol shochatin. Any utensil, any type of sharp object can be used for shkita. Ben bitzur, whether it's a sharp rock, bitzur is usually used to reference to a flint stone that's very sharp. Ben bitzkunkrit, whether it's glass that's very sharp. Ben bitkumit shokaneh, whether it's a reed that is very sharp. Any of those items, given that they are smooth and very sharp, they can function as the mechanism of shkita, like a knife can do it. In that case, you don't have a problem. Because metal is mekabel tumah, wood is not mekabel tumah, it's considered to be pshute kliyetz. Its kliyetz need a toch, need a receptacle in order to accept tumah. Over here it's a flat item, it's a knife, and therefore it will not accept tumah, even from an ava tumah. And that way you can check the animal with the kumit shel kaneh. Tosafot over here discusses a matter that he discussed, and we discussed in Menachot and in Zvachim, which is, wait a minute, don't you need a kli sharet in order to do the shchita of kodeshim? And we know that klei sharet only come from metallic objects. That klei sharet, we paskin, not like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda thinks you can make it from wood, but like Rabbi that says that you have to make it from metal. And how here is he shechting an animal for kodeshim with a wood or a reed knife? How does that work? The Bai Tosafot say, we have in other places in Chas indications that corroborate this idea. And he brings evidence to the fact that the Gemara in a number of places says that you don't, possibly you wouldn't need a kli at all to do shechita. From that, Tosafot backs away, because we already saw, again, in Menachot and in Zvachim, that we learned from the Zota Torah, which brings a hekesh between all the korbanot, that there is a requirement from Olah that we learn that you need a machelet. You need a kli, or maybe even you need a knife, in order to do the shechita. So the Bai Tosafot now are caught in a bind where there it indicates you do need a kli. You do need something to do the shechita with. On the other hand, the Gemara says in a number of places, you don't need a kli sharet. The Tosfot, in balancing between those two, says, Eino chanami, that for shechita, you do need a kli, but you just don't need a kli sharet. And therefore, a kumit shel kaneh will be fine, because you have a kli, which will then fulfill the pasuk of ma'achelet. On the other hand, it doesn't have to be a kli sharet. That's why even though it's not metal, it still qualifies. Obviously, there are those that dissent. And Tosafot brings other opinions that say that you either don't need a kli sharet at all for shechita, or maybe you do need a kli sharet for shechita. The Rambam seems to indicate that you don't need a kli at all, and the Ramban in the other direction seems to think that you do need a kli sharet, because it is mekadesh l'dam, and only b'diavad if you don't have a kli sharet, but a kli, would it work? So you have across the spectrum the Ramban who thinks that kli sharet is the primary and best way to do it, and we would require that the chatkila. The Rambam on the other side who says that b'diavad, even if it's not a kli, it'd be kosher. Tosafot comes to this balance or compromise position, which say at least b'diavad you need a kli, but you don't need a kli sharet. And that's how the Bai Tosafot balance between those two items, the lack of a need for kli sharet by shkita, but still having the requirement for a kli, and that's what allows one to shecht with a kumit shel kaneh. Okay, we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph.